Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24:3-4. Bishop Patrick Bruce is a seasoned minister of the gospel, bringing decades of experience in pastoral and administrative leadership. He is a man of great wisdom, humility, and faith. He is the senior pastor of Grace Cathedral, a thriving community church under the Dag Heward Mills Ministries, located in Afromasi in Kumasi, Ghana. Now, let's hear him.
This morning, I want to talk about the most serious sin, and that is pride. That is pride. Amen. And as usual, I'm just giving you 7 points about pride. Amen. Pride is the most deadly sin. It is the most dangerous sin. It is the sin. It's also the first sin against God, which is what caused Lucifer to be thrown out of heaven. Pride is what it is, the precursor to all the other sins. I'll explain. But it is the most dangerous sin because it is this one that Satan took upon himself. And from there, all other sins came. Are you with me? Oh, Job 41 and verse 34. It describes those who are proud. It says, Satan, he is a king over all the children of pride. Just as lies are speaking Satan's mother tongue. Being prideful, you become a child of Satan. Amen. And when you are a child of somebody, his behavior, his mannerisms, you even begin to look like him. And that is what it is, you know. But what makes pride also the most deadly and dangerous of all sins is two things in particular that makes pride so dangerous. Number one, it is invisible. It is invisible. All other sins, you can see it or hear it in some way. Pride is the one sin that's very, I don't know anybody who has admitted, I am proud. Have you heard it before? I am proud. Even when you tell somebody you are proud, he'll be arguing with you. When I say it is invisible to you. Others around you may see you are proud. Look at the way you are talking, the way you are behaving, you are proud. And the one will say, me? Proud? How? And they warn you, pa. They never accept it. They never, have you seen somebody who when you tell them you are proud, they say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm proud. I'm trying to humble myself. Have you seen some before? No. They'll argue with you. And they'll say, you are proud. You are equally proud or more proud or prouder, whichever is correct. And they will not accept it. And it is a real problem because the people who are proud, they cannot see it. It is invisible. According to Rick Joyner, it is the spirit that appears almost always behind you on your blind spots. So you can't see it. So they will argue. So this morning, somebody will argue with me. I'm ready. Yeah. And number two, about pride, it is pervasive. It is, when COVID came, it struck everywhere. People say it's a rich man's disease, and it struck everywhere. Everybody was locked down, even in the ghettos, because it goes, pride goes everywhere. One of the most, you see, we all can imagine a rich man to be proud. Can we not? Because he is rich and he has done something. So he's happily walking to blow his trumpet and say, do you know who I am? Who born you? Where are you from? A rich man can be, we can easily see him being prideful. But do you know the surprising thing? Poor people. Hey, poor people. They are equally proud, if not prouder. Poor people. Hey! Sometimes they are the ones who are most difficult to deal with. When they say that, you say, look, when you are offering a poor man something, you say, I'm the one who should do this one. I'm the one who should sweep. And one reason why many poor people are unemployed is when they are given a job, they turn it down. They say, oh, this job is below me. No, you are down. You are down. But the job is below me, and I can't take this job. Amen. Signs of pride. So that you check yourself. Once in a while, I take my glucometer. Then I prick myself to check my blood sugar, if it's going or coming. These days it's coming. It's behaving well these days. Oh, yeah. Oh, thank the Lord for me also. Yes, praise the Lord. It's going well. So I check myself. Amen. So this morning, I'm giving you signs. 7 signs that will help you to check whether you are proud or not. In fact, there are more than 7. Number 1, Proverbs 13 and verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention. Number 1, if you quarrel or enter a quarrel or even stay in a quarrel, you are proud. You are proud. Amen. How many have quarreled before? So why didn't you raise your hand when I said, why are the proud people? No, only by pride cometh contention. Because if somebody is willing to say, I'm sorry, at the beginning, it will never be a problem. Why did you step on my shoe? I'm sorry. Finish. Why did you bump into me? You're supposed to mind. I'm sorry. Finish. Look, you are late. I'll be standing here for 30 minutes waiting for you. I'm sorry. Finish. But because you say, but you too, last time you didn't come early. But you too, what about the time you spoiled my shoe? But you too, that you too, straight away, quarrel has started. Because one person couldn't say, I am sorry. Amen. Ask him, but when was the last time you quarreled? You will say, when was the last time you quarreled? This month. It is. I mean, if there is no pride, there will never be a quarrel. One person will always give up and say, I surrender. No matter. And see, sometimes, so Bishop, what about if it is not in my fault and I'm being wrongly accused? I should argue back and say, Jesus, he was accused and he never said a word. Who are you a follower of? Are you not a Christian? Are you not a Christian? Can you not allow yourself to be maligned? Allow yourself to be insulted. But you have to defend yourself. But you know, hey, tell neighbor, tap, cool. From today. Hey, tell neighbor, from today. No more quarreling. Choir, ashes, people's, where they are. And especially where there are plenty of girls too. I don't know why girls are dancing stars. Dancing. Priscilla, is there quarreling in the dancing stars? There is. Yeah, there are proud dancing stars here. But they are leaving this morning in the name of Jesus. No. So from today, when some... No, listen to me. I'm preaching. I've only 7 minutes more. From today, when something happens... and a quarrel is coming. quickly say you are proud or you say I am sorry. Which one will you do? You chose the right answer. Like you see what I'll do to you. If you say you are proud, what are you saying? Say I'm sorry. Amen. There should be from what day is today? No, what date? 22nd March 2026. From today, somebody should say that, but you have changed. You have become sober and cool and gentle. You're not minding me again this morning. No, you're not, the amen is not, Reverend William, they're not saying the amen well. From today, somebody must say, but, Leticia, this is not, I mean, these days, I know you are cool, but, I mean, the last time this co-worker made that, you have changed. They say, oh, yes, I've given up quarreling. Hallelujah. It's possible, though. I stopped quarreling with my wife more than 15 years ago. Oh, no, more than 15. We have not quarreled again. She may quarrel, I won't quarrel. She may jigger and start talking plenty. No, I will not reply. Because of what somebody told me, that if I quarrel, if I'm angry with her, my prayer won't be listened, won't be heard. And I'm a pastor. This is my work. I cannot afford my prayer not to be answered. So she can say what she will say. And then if I see some tension coming on, I just back down. I'm sorry. I don't say I'm sorry, but I'm sorry. Amen. Are you listening? So number one, no more quarreling. This one, I don't need to go into it because it's very simple. I won't quarrel again. That's all. I won't quarrel again. Amen. Is it okay? Write it down. No more quarreling. No, no matter if the person is unjustified. You see, normally people try to find reasons to justify themselves because it's not fair. It's not right. It's not. Tell somebody it doesn't matter. Oh, tell me it doesn't matter. How about the times when you were wrong and then you were still arguing? What about those times when you were out of order but you still stood on your ground? And later on, you went home and found out you were wrong. No. So, no more quarreling. No more. Amen. Amen. Number two, Daniel 4 and verse 27. You know, it's Daniel's 4. This is about Daniel and the Nebuchadnezzar. When Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, you saw a big tree growing to the heavens, much fruit, all the birds came to sit in it. Then a watcher, an angel, came from heaven and said, cut the tree down and let the stump remain in the earth. And then seven times, seven seasons, then the angel went away. Then he woke up and he said, what dream is this? So he asked the wise men to come and tell him the meaning of the dream. I always have to give you background because I'm not sure you know the Bible stories. Yeah. And so he called all the wise men to come. Nobody could tell the dream until Daniel came. And when he told Daniel the dream, the Bible says Daniel was quiet for 1 hour. And he said, oh, king, if only this dream was for your enemies. And then he said that the tree you saw, that big tree you saw, it is you. You are the big tree that has grown big and mighty, and your influence goes to all the corners of the world. But you have become proud. And so God has sent an angel to cut the tree down to the earth. And then he said this thing, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. And break off thy sins by righteousness. Stop your sins and be righteous. If it may be a lengthening of your tranquility. But the king didn't listen. Number two, sign of pride. You can't be advised. You cannot be advised. Nobody can say something to you and you do it. Everything they say to you, you argue. Does it sound familiar? A lot of people cannot be advised. Advised means told to do something and you will do it. One day I asked my church, what have you done that you didn't decide to do, but somebody told you? What have you done? That thing, you had not planned to do it, but you did it because somebody said do it. Because many people, what you do, you decided. True or not true? What you are doing, what you are saying, where you are going, is your decision. It's your plan. It is you doing what you want. And that's how you have lived your life up to today. You are in charge. You are in control. You are the captain of your ship. You are the master of your soul. You are the king of your life. No problem. It's true. But you are not every God. Somebody must be able to tell you to do something and you will do it. And you will do it. Somebody must be able to say, change this, do this, go this, do that. And you will do it because you are able to take advice. Now, become quiet. I don't know how to test this thing except in this thing, in this way. What have you done that you hadn't planned to do, but you are doing it simply because somebody said do it? What have you done? Ask your neighbor, please. The man is asking me a question. I'm the charming for today. What have you done that I was not going to do it? Kevin, I wasn't going to do it. But because you said it, I'll do it. That's what Peter said. Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. But because you said, look, you're a carpenter, I'm a fisherman. I know this area. I am the man in my area. I will not listen to anybody else. But because you said it, I will do it. I will do it. What? No. See, and children are also very guilty. They are very difficult to advise. Because you talk to them and they will say, I hear, but they won't do. Or not the case. How many have said, I will do, but you didn't do? Can I see your hand? You said it, I will do it. Or you made the impression, I will do it, but you didn't do it. Can I see your hand? No. So tell somebody, it's the last time. Listen, if you won't do, say I won't do. Also, that was also lying. Okay, let's also put aside lies. Hallelujah. Amen. So number two sign of, and pride is that I know what I'm doing. That's right. I know what I'm doing. I am in charge. I am in control. I know. Leave me alone. I know what I'm doing. No, you are not. You don't know everything. You don't have understanding of everything, and especially children who are now growing up, and also those who are half educated or being educated. They are the ones who think they know more. I'll preach. Amen. So please. Listen, you must be able to say, this thing I am doing, look, some of you must come to a service, go to a prayer meeting, do some offering, do something that you had not planned to come. This prayer meeting is not on my agenda. It's not my lifestyle. It's not how I live my life. But because you say it, I will come. I didn't hear amen. Hey, it's quiet here. Yeah. You must say this thing, I hadn't planned to do it. No. It's not my agenda at all to start wearing skirts. No, me, I wear trousers. Finish. But because of you, because of what you are saying, or me, I wear this, but I've changed my mind simply because of somebody. That's humility. That you allow somebody to be able to lead you into a place. Amen. Amen. Number three. Luke, what's number one? What's number one? No more quarreling. Quarrels, sign of pride is quarreling. Number two. Number three. Luke 18, verse 11. And the Pharisee, reading from the ERV. And the Pharisee stood alone, away from the tax collector. When the Pharisee prayed, he said, "Oh God, I thank you that I am not as bad as other people." Who has heard this thing before? Who has taught it before? Who has taught this thing before? I'm not that bad. You raise your hand this morning. Who has taught this before? I'm not that bad. You are here in the Bible. I am not like other men who steal, cheat, or commit adultery. I thank you that what? I am better. Hey, you mind me again. Who has been here before? Or who is still here? I am better than this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of everything I get. The tax collector stood alone. But when he prayed, he would not even look up to heaven. He felt very humble before God. He said, "Oh God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner." Number three, sign of pride. You cannot see what you are doing wrong. You cannot see. To you, I'm doing nothing wrong. I'm okay. I am quite good. In fact, I'm better than most people. I am a good husband. I'm a good student. I'm a good daughter. You are saying, you are proclaiming your own goodness. I am not bad. I am doing quite well. You cannot see yourself what you are doing wrong. Amen. And you don't think you are doing anything wrong. As far as you are concerned, you are a very good person. It's a major sign of pride. You must walk humbly, aware of your failings, aware of all the... One thing I always say to people, you must have a mirror in your house. Okay? And every now and then, go to the mirror, look in the mirror, and tell that person in the mirror, you are not correct. You are very bad. No one knows how bad you are, but I do. Tell that person in the mirror. Nobody knows your bad thoughts, your wickedness, your secret sins. Nobody knows. I tell them, but me, I know your sins. That person, I know your sins. I know what you were thinking yesterday when you were smiling. I know what you were doing when you were paying the money. You were grumbling your heart. You were cursing that person. I know you. Nobody knows you like how I know you. Yeah. You must be able to, you must be able to acknowledge that there are many wrong things. Are you here this morning? That there are many bad things in me. And that's why many of us don't change. Many of us don't change. As you were, so are you. You come to church, you go home the same. Because you are not looking for any way to improve yourself. You have been in church for years and years, and you have not changed. You don't pray more. You don't read more. You don't do anything more than before. Because to you, as you are okay. And you're not trying to add something to your life. Yeah, become very quiet. Yeah. You have not changed at all. You have not improved in any way. You are the same. You are the same. You are just, you must be, that's why, every year they release a phone or a car or something, it's always improved. What they had wasn't bad, was very good. iPhone 14 was very good. But they've gone to 15 and then 16. And then some, and what they have is good. What they have was good, but they are always saying, "How can we do it better?" Amen. You, turn to your neighbor and say, "You, what have you changed since you joined this church? What has changed? You are the same person. You are the same person. You are the same. What you pray, as you pray, don't pray, give, don't give, come, don't come. What has you, Only change is you are here on Sunday. You are here today. But ask him, Wednesday, where were you? Friday, where are you? Ask your neighbor. I know you don't go to church on Fridays. Yes, that's how you are. It's true. I accept it. It's not in your culture. It's not in your, that's not how you are born. You are born going to church on Sunday or no church at all. I accept it. But have you not improved in any way since you came to Christ? Have you not seen any, has there been no change? But you cannot see anything wrong. No. That's number three. I'm almost finished. Number four. Daniel 4, 30. And the king said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Number four is trying to project yourself, always being self-conscious, always being able to bring yourself up everywhere, like me, I am protecting yourself, projecting yourself, making yourself look good. Do you know why we dress? We dress to cover our nakedness, not to show our dress. But you dress to show. Yeah, we don't dress to show. We dress to cover. You are dressing a dress so that somebody will look at you. Or somebody will see you. Or somebody will notice you. That, oh, your hair, you've done your hair not to bring order to your hair, but to let them see that your head is nice. I don't know whether I'm saying it well. The reason why you are doing the thing is not for any other thing but to draw attention. I mean, two people can do the same thing, but one person's motives and mind is different. Hallelujah. I mean, you can be in the choir, everybody's cool in the choir, and somebody is trying to show himself in the choir. I need a microphone. When they come, now you first take a microphone. Hey, maybe according to the choir director, you are not a microphone carrier. But you have come to take the microphone, and you have come, and some people too, they exaggerate their movements. They clap more than others, show, hey, they are more visible than others. Trying to be seen. No. As a rule, when I go to places, front row, one of my greatest quarrels is when I go to other churches, is I don't like the front seat. No, I always go somewhere else. Because the front seat people, it's the big people who sit in front. I'm not one of them. I'm not one of the big people sitting in front. And one of the quarrels is they will always try and find me and bring me to the front. And I always argue. Oh, I argue. But recently I went somewhere, the man said, don't argue. As I got to say, don't argue. Come. Out of respect, I had to follow him quietly like a lamb to the slaughter. I had to follow him like that. Just quietly. But there are others too who are very happy to sit at the front row. They are looking for an opportunity. I notice people who, when they come, they are looking for a front row. Hey, no, it's not a place to project yourself. Amen. If you see, sometimes you just want to be seen or heard or noticed. These are the signs of pride in you that is lingering in your heart. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, look, I'm nobody. And we are nobodies. That's why they say, oh, I don't use my title. My title is not what is makes me what I am. Doesn't make you a good pastor because you are called bishop. Not all bishops are good pastors. Some are good administrators. Some are good in other ways. That's not what I'm here for. Does it concern you if I'm a good letter writer? Does it help you? It doesn't help you. But what is important is that we are good pastors. Hallelujah. Don't try to make yourself seen. Amen. Don't try to project yourself. No. It is not at all. It's a sign of pride. Amen. Number five. Some things are below you. I cannot do this. I am not, it's not my type. It's not what I do. As for carrying chairs, doing this kind of work, I cannot join the choir. I cannot join the ushers. I'm too big. I'm too old. I'm too whatever it is. Look at my choir. This is the best choir in the whole world. Father and son, father and daughter, brother and son. Hey, it's the best choir in the whole world. Oh, come for that choir. Ah. And you see, grown man and small boy standing side by side. And say, who doesn't belong here? Who should go and sit down? The grown man or the small boy? Who should go and sit down? The two. Where in life will you ever see these two people in the same group in life? Where again? Nowhere in life. What person should sit down? Oh, who will sit down? None. We all belong here. Amen. 2 Kings 5, verse 9. Naaman was a general. He was a big man. He was a general who was a warrior in the house. Verse 9. So Naaman, but he had leprosy. He had a trouble in his body. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots. Okay, let me tell the story again. So Naaman was a general who had leprosy. Then the king of Syria said, I've heard that there is somebody in Israel who can heal. So Naaman, go there for healing. So Naaman, of course, came to the king of Israel, king to king. And the king said, hey, who can heal leprosy? What trouble is this? The man is trying to pick a fight. And he was very worried. And Elisha said, no, relax, king. I can do it. Send him to me. Relax. So verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots to Elisha's house and stood outside the door. Elisha sent a messenger to Naaman who said, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. Then your skin will be healed and you'll be pure and clean. Verse 11. Look at something. Then Naaman became, are you here? He became what? Angry. And he left. And he said, I thought Elisha would at least come out and stand in front of me. I'm a general. I'm a big man. I deserve some respect. I'm now not a normal student. I'm a master student. I'm a PhD. I'm a doctor. At least when I come, you should be careful where you put me. Don't add me to normal people. No. Don't treat me like a normal person. Amen. And he said, I thought he would come. And is he, first of all, I don't want ushers to be handling me. I want pastors and senior men, not young people like you. No. I don't want people. I mean, my church children are dancing. I don't want children on the stage. I want mature grown-ups. One man said he was looking, his evangelism is targeted at grown-ups. Oh yeah, grown-ups. Because he wants grown-ups in his church. He doesn't want children coming to make noise, walking up and down. I tell you, grown-ups walk more up and down than children. Grown-ups. I thought he would wave his hand over my body and heal the leprosy. Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, are better than all the water in Israel. Why can't I wash in those rivers in Damascus and become clean? He came with his conditions. You know, that it must be such that the day there is any one of my, you know, my biggest quarrel with people like Mizpah and other people, when I take a broom, they come and take the broom from me. When I take, just Friday, we are going to sweep. So where in the Bible does it say bishops cannot sweep? No, tell me, where in the Bible does it say bishops can't carry chairs? Where in the Bible does it say it? Which culture? Is it good or bad culture? No, but you see, it feeds into a certain understanding that some things are not for some people. And it's like only certain people are fit for certain jobs. And that's why those people too, they rebel. Am I the one? Am I the carrier of chairs? Am I the one who should sweep alone? Am I the one who's supposed to do this, the donkey work? Eh? Please ask your neighbor, have you arranged chairs in this church before? Please ask your neighbor, have you arranged chairs? What did he say? Never. No. Ask him, have you helped to sweep the church? I mean, so, okay, ask him. So, your bedroom, who cleans your bedroom? So, if you can, so, I mean, that is your bedroom, then why you clean it? So, ask him, okay, quietly, who scrubs your toilet in your house? Who scrubs your toilet? So, how come when it comes to church, we can't find anybody to scrub our toilets? Hey, look, church toilet is more than public latrine. It's more than that. Nobody wants to clean it. Nobody wants to clean it. We have to only get young ushers who don't have a choice, who are going to be not coerced, but it is their job. Hold your nose and then go and clean your toilets. Because there's nobody who has said, I will clean it. But it makes them special. No, it makes them extraordinary. It makes them, when they are liked, it's not that they are giving back pass or giving some free cake or something. It's what they have done. It's what they have done. And you see, sometimes you wonder that, if grown-ups are going to clean, where are the children's who should be like, it is, mommy, go away. It is my job. But she has done it for years, and the children walk past her in and out. Oh, it's not true. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. The children walk past her, grown-up mommy, not just a grown-up mommy, a seriousness, standing there, specialist, but doing the cleaning of a toilet, and everybody else just walks past. When you go to a toilet and it's clean, do you ask who cleaned it? When it's not clean, then you are grumbling. Somebody's not working. Some useless person didn't come today. Where are the people? Where are the cleaners? Where are the cleaners? Ask anybody, how old are you? I should have a list of people. Look at our church. Everything here should be pepper. What's pepper in English? In English. Perfect. Perfect is not, it's not enough. Pepper is not perfect. Spot on. You are bringing some good English. Yes. I mean, everything should be beautiful. Everything should be perfect. Everything, we should be struggling to find some dust or something here. Because everybody, as you are walking and you see an empty bottle on the ground, this empty bottle, where are the cleaners? Where are the cleaners? Oh, when I drink finish, I can put it down because a cleaner will come after me and pick it up and take it away. Especially those who drink from the sachets. They are the major droppers of sachets everywhere, anywhere. They just suck and then just drop it and walk away. Because somebody will come. No, I'm showing you pride. I mean, how many have been walking in the compound or anywhere? You saw a rubber sachet on the ground and you picked it up. How many? All the children don't pick it up. They just walk by it. Why? Because I'm not the picker up of rubbish. There's a picker up of rubbish. Picker up. Yes. It's a person. Not a word. It's a person. There's a certain person who will come around after me to do the dirty work. Not me. Amen. But no, look, listen, there should be like, when we see something lying on the ground, there should be three people going to pick it at the same time. And then you say, who got there first? Three people, when we all sit down, we are going to, why? Because it should not be there. And there's nobody who is above that job, Everybody of us, it is our job. And you see, this attitude, I am saying it here, but it should be in your life. Amen. It should be somehow, it's how I live, how you live, how you do everything, everywhere you are. Listen to me. If you are able to keep your chair and your area clean, your bedroom will be clean. Yeah, it will be clean. Nobody will have to chase you or do anything at all about it. Your bedroom will be clean. If you are able to be, keep your soundness, you drop something, you pick it up. I heard something recently. They said those who get up from a table and push their chair back in, they are very special people, very considerate of other people's space. I said, really? Because most people, when they get up, they walk away. How many times have you gotten up to arrange your chair again? Even in a convention, when there's a move of God and there's some confusion, people get up and they sit down exactly as the chair. They don't even rearrange the thing, or they do it some haphazard way. They don't try to recreate the order that was there before. Amen. No, we are changing. Hallelujah. I said we are changing. Amen. There is nothing below us. That's pride. I cannot come and do this. I cannot sweep. How many can, if you see a cobweb in this room, what will you do? Ima, where is Ima? Where are the ashes? No. It should be that I will go and find, I will ask them, where is the brush? What do you want it for? You bring it to me. What do you want it for? You bring, what's your problem? Bring the brush to me. I think you do it yourself. Amen. That is humility. Hallelujah. Not that you are anything special. I mean, are you special? I'm not special. But it's our house. And it's our church. Hallelujah. Number 6. 2 Chronicles 32 and 25. Not respond to kindness. Not respond to kindness. But Hezekiah, okay, his heart was proud. So he did not give God thanks for his kindness. The King James says, and Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. One of the signs of pride, when somebody does you something good, and you say it's nothing. It's nothing. Somebody has helped you, and then you don't mind him again. It is great. It is a great sign of pride. Somebody has helped you, and then you don't say thank you, and they just say, oh, it's okay, and just walk away, and you don't appreciate. Look, when somebody has helped you, it's almost like it's for life. Do you understand? When somebody has helped you, it's like that help, it has changed your life. It's for life. It's for life. Because that help, you can't undo it. You can't ever go back and say that, Charlie, get your money back. No, no, no. At that time, you needed it. That's all. There's a word, forever grateful. I didn't hear you say amen. Amen. That word, forever grateful. I can never forget what you did for me. I can never forget the day I was on the ground, you helped me stand up again. The day I had nothing, you bought me, you paid my lorry fare just to go home. Only 10 cedis. No, 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 no. At that time, that 10 cedis was worth 2 hours of walking. That day, that 10 cedis, you didn't have it. It's only 10 cedis. It's only 10 cedis, but you didn't have it. And you were stuck somewhere, and you couldn't go somewhere. Somebody gave you a pen. At that day, you didn't have a pen. Don't say, oh, it's only a pen. No, 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 no. It is what you needed at that time. Somebody stepped in for you at that time and gave you what you needed. It may be small, it may be big, but later on, now, you say it's nothing. You have forgotten all the help they gave you. You just walk away and say it's nothing. It's not there. He said he did it. Go back to the ERV. You were not grateful. Tell somebody, I will never forget what you have done for me. No, please stop. If somebody has helped you, no matter how small, decide and send the person a message. I will never forget. Oh, you're not saying well. Is he saying it? He's not saying it. I will never forget what you have done for me. I didn't hear you say anything. The last one is for you. Number seven. Number seven. Those who are quiet. Those who are quiet. Oh, yeah. Those who are quiet. Quietness in the midst of a certain environment is a sign of pride. I don't bother to answer you. You are below me. You're not fit for us to have a discussion. Elijah, he met 450 prophets of Baal. And he said, look, one of us is wrong. We are worshiping opposite poles. One of us is wrong. It cannot be that God is God or Baal. It cannot be. So verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye? Halt means you waver, go back and forth between two opinions. If God be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. What is the right answer? We follow God, of course. What's the right answer? We follow God. But the people answered not a word. Listen, every time somebody is talking to you or you're in a discussion and you choose to remain quiet, it's a sign of pride. That I don't bother to reply to you. I don't care what you are thinking. You're not fit to. You are mad. You're not talking sense. You are just anything, anyhow. And me, I'm not going to mind you again. What do you tell people? I won't mind you. Isn't that what you say? I won't mind you. I don't care what you are saying. I won't mind you. I'm doing what I like. That is number seven, pride. And it is one of the... You see, that's why... Let me say it. When we come to church and we are worshiping and you don't sing, you're proud. You're proud. Yeah, you're proud. They say, oh, I don't have a voice to sing. You go and let's see some Shatawale song is being played. You'll be singing, you'll be humming along. Let there be some, who are the current stars now? Kunta Kinte? Black Sheriff, Kimbayota. Yeah, when you will see grown-ups are singing the song. They didn't know all the lyrics. But when it comes to church, no, look at me, I'm preaching, I'm finishing. My time is over. When it comes to church and it's time for worship, people suddenly cannot lift their voice. Because you are proud. You are proud. It's just pure pride. You say, oh, I don't know the song. Don't know the song. Why are we shouting Ezekiel? Why are we shouting Ezekiel? To put the words up for you to sing along. And the words are there. Still, you have shut up like a clam. Yeah, it's pride. It's pure pride. That's all. I don't bother to sing. I don't bother to answer. I don't bother to take part. I don't bother to recap. I'm doing what I like. You're lucky I've come. And I'm here. And this singing is below me. Let the children sing. Those who are emotional, they can sing. Those who are sanguinic, they can sing. We who are serious and we are mature and we are dignified, we don't sing. We just stand there waiting for you to finish the song. Oh, no. You say, oh, I don't know the song. No. How many songs do you know when you are born? You learn every song. And there are a few songs you sing only once here. If today, Don't know the song? No problem. Learn it. Learn it and sing along. But it's just, you see, you say, oh, it's not pride. I'm showing you that that's the invisible spirit of pride around you. And you say, when you are being told what to do, then you say, oh, I've done nothing wrong. When you are advised to say, oh, I won't change. All is why you are still remaining silent after this today. Pride, pride, people. And when I ask you to raise your hand, you didn't raise your hand to me. I didn't lie into your pride. Liars and proud people. That is it. Amen. Silence. Silence. That, oh, I don't talk. No. There is nobody who doesn't talk. Even those who are dumb. They make a lot of sounds and gestures. Even those who are dumb, they... He's talking to you in his dumbness. And those who are there, they know how to communicate with them. And you have mouth and everything else, and you have just shut up like something else. Tell somebody, this is your last time. Last time. I don't want proud people by me. I don't want anybody by me who is above an unsingable, untouchable, uncontrollable. Why is pride so dangerous? Because God deals with it. God deals with it. James 4, 6. Let me just give one verse. There are many more. Proverbs 13, but James 4, 6. But it gives more grace. Why? God resists the proud. God resists the proud. That's what Gamaliel said. We'll be found fighting God. You'll be found fighting God. God resists the proud. Look, if you are proud, God will resist you. You'll be amazed that things, one, don't work for a while, but sooner or later, they begin to spoil. You'll be amazed. God resists the proud. Suddenly, things don't work again. Or things that were working, stop working. So what should you do? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. That's all. Humble. When I say humble, I didn't say be humble. I said humble yourself. Make a decision. You know, you must decide. Mr. Pastor Man, from today, I won't be quiet again. It's a decision I've made. From today, I will sing. It's a decision I have made. Humble yourself. I've made a decision that from today, when I come and I go to the bathroom and I see anything on the floor, I will pick it up. And are you listening to me? It's a decision I've made. Nobody will call me twice. You call me and see something once, I hear, I will do it. All stubbornness is gone out of my heart in the name of Jesus. Amen. Nobody is going to correct my dressing twice. Nobody. Nobody is going to talk about my hair twice. My nails twice. No, nothing. No, once is enough. Because when you say it once and I hear it, I've changed. I may not agree, but depending on who is speaking, I will take your word over mine. And when we do that, we are going to walk into a certain kind of humility. Eh? That's when God will lift you up. That's when God will begin to turn your life around. And then you'll be amazed. I have never liked the front seats, except my chair, my church. No. Everywhere else, I always like to be out of the spotlight. Because when the Al-Qaeda come, they will kill those who are here first. So I always want to sit somewhere else that I'll be able to escape the bullets. From today, let's humble ourselves. I didn't hear an amen. You know, not saying amen is that quietness. Oh, is that quietness that I don't bother? Because amen is a response. Somebody spoke to you, and it is like I come to you, then I say, "Oh, good morning." Then he's looking at me. He didn't insult me. Did he insult me? Did he say I'm crazy? Did he say I'm mad? He said nothing, but he said the same thing in that nothingness. Don't waste my time. When he comes, say, "Oh, how are you?" And he's just looking at you. How will you feel? Stupid and foolish. And I'm saying nothing. Tell somebody, don't be quiet again in church. That one, but you won't say it. Don't be quiet again in church. You won't say it, Barbara. You're looking at me. Tell somebody, don't be quiet again in church. Those days are gone now. We are finished. Tell him that you will come to church and you won't sing. I mean, ask him how. After today, after this service, you will come to church again and you sit in a service and you can't. Tell somebody, raise your hand. You can't raise your hand because my arm is stiff. Big men don't raise their hands. Only poor people who don't have money are compliant and they raise their hands. But we who are educated, you know, when you're a big man, you just pockets. And then you stand in a certain way. Yeah. Diplomatic is the word. And then that's how he said, when you raise your hand, he said, oh. That's how I raise my hand because, you know, it's embarrassing and I don't want to inconvenience myself. You know, I just stand like that. And then that's, but we are changing. We are changing. Hallelujah. Nobody should be in church and you don't pray aloud. Shabakataya. You are in church and we are praying and you are quiet. No, praying, singing, responding. Don't, Zuniba, it should end today in this church. Put your hands together.
Thank you for listening. If you have been blessed by this message, please share it with someone who might also need to hear it. The Bible says, "The Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it." To share a testimony or to request prayer, send us a message on WhatsApp to +2 332 059 112 75. God bless you.